Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word.
I am very blessed to be married to Janet. I know that I could not do what God has called me to do without the woman that she is. She's a prayer warrior. She's a woman of faith. She's a strong woman that takes care of business on the home front. When I'm gone, I never have to worry about the home falling apart. She's well able to take care of everything and hold it all together. And I praise God for godly women that stand behind godly men. Hallelujah. And make it all happen. There are realms within realms. There's wheels within wheels, fire within fire, clouds within clouds. The Bible talks about blessing without and in blessing. There's miracles within miracles. And I believe this morning, even as we've been praising and worshiping and releasing a sound within the atmosphere, that just like the dedication of Solomon's temple, where the praise went up and the sound went up and then a cloud of glory came down, there is a realm that is being released from you in this place this morning to bring forth the very promise, potential, and power of the heavenly realms. Hallelujah. There's a new place of divine supernatural interaction that God wants to take you. There's a new place of divine supernatural blessing that God is leading you into. There's a new place of divine favor that God has available to you. But we have to be willing to do something that we've never done before in order to receive something that we've never had before. Somebody say, "I'm going someplace this morning in the spirit." Come on, say it like you mean it. I am going someplace this morning in the spirit. God is about to take me to the outer limits of my mind, out of my mind and into his. I'm about to go out of the flesh and into the spirit. I'm coming out of the past and I'm entering into my promise. I'm coming out of the natural into the divine supernatural. I'm coming out of the known realm into the unknown realm of divine heavenly glory. Hallelujah. You know what I love about that passage of scripture that talks about the cloud of glory coming down at the dedication of Solomon's temple? It says that when the cloud came, that those that were ministers, those that were priests, those that would regularly perform their service could no longer do what they normally did. And that's really a sign for us. God's wanting to take us into a place of encountering his divine presence where we can't do what we've always done because there's something brand new that's opening for us. Hallelujah. My God. My God. A lot of people complaining, "Well, God never does anything for me. No miracles ever happen for me. Nothing unusual. No signs and wonders. No supernatural blessing ever happens in my life." That's because you've been asking for a move from God, but you've not been willing to move with God. You have to be willing to take his hand and allow him to lead you and direct you and take you where he wants to take you, where he wants to lead you. Hallelujah. Come on, lift up your hands in this place. Just lift up your hands in the sphere, into the cloud of glory, into that realm, into that atmosphere of supernatural increase and abundance and harvest. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, I thank you that in this place, your miracles are available. Lord, I thank you that in this place this morning, divine healing flows like a river. Lord, I thank you that right now in this place, there's supernatural, unexplainable, uncompromisable blessing that begins to flow from heaven. Lord, the overflow begin to come into our life even right now in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I thank you for that which is so unexplainable, that which comes without limit, without measure. Oh, oh, Lord, right now I thank you for releasing divine supernatural provision. Lord, I thank you for releasing supernatural increase. Lord, and I thank you for releasing in this place restoration. Lord, I thank you for the realms of divine favor, supernatural connections, divine appointments. Whoa. Being released right now in this place, right now. Lord, we thank you that every moment in your glory is a moment of change. And right now, there's things that are beginning to swirl. There's things that are beginning to twirl. Lord, I thank you that there's things that are beginning to move and come into position, repositioning us right now into divine alignment with heaven's purpose, heaven's anointing right now in Jesus, the anointing that breaks every single yoke of bondage, the anointing that comes to destroy the yoke, comes to destroy every enemy assignment, everything that's been set against us right now in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we thank you for your glory that comes to intervene in the middle of the biggest circumstances, the greatest difficulties we seem to be facing. Lord, right now I speak forth glory into the middle of it in Jesus' name right now. Divine supernatural miracles coming forth where it looks so hopeless, where it looks so bleak, where it looks like there could not be a victory. I speak divine supernatural victory in the name of Jesus coming forth for you. In Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I thank you for releasing it. I thank you for doing it. Lord, whatever your glory touches begins to change. When your glory touched the water, it turned into heavenly wine. When your glory touched the fishes and the loaves, it began to supernaturally multiply. When your glory came upon that little bit of flour, the little bit of oil, suddenly it became an unlimited supply. Lord, whatever your glory touches begins to change. I invite your glory to come and to begin to touch my life even this morning in a way that I've never been touched before, an encounter with heaven that I've never had before, a moment of glory, a moment of divine presence that I've never known before. Lord, let your glory come upon us. Let your presence begin to rise up within us. Let the cloud begin to encompass us, surround us completely with that which comes from you. In Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When the glory of God comes on the scene, things begin to happen that could happen in no other atmosphere. God's teaching us a lot about atmospheres, about creating realms, about establishing his kingdom, his holy presence in our spheres of influence, is the place that God has given to us, claiming it for him and allowing him to dominate and have dominion in those places, in those atmospheres, and creating these atmospheres where healing can abound, where it's been sickness in the past, where restoration can abound, where there's been divisions in the past, where supernatural provision and abundance can abound, where it's only looked like poverty and lack and insufficiency in the past. Beginning to take that which God has given to us, creating the atmosphere of glory. How many want to create an atmosphere of glory in your home? In your family, establish it in your family where it doesn't matter what anybody else does or what anybody else agrees with. You just determine this is what we're going to have. God said, I can have it, so it's mine. It belongs to me. Hallelujah. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's going to happen. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, your kids might be running around and acting all crazy. Your spouse might be messing up on all different kinds of stuff. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that is the promise that I'm sticking to. Hallelujah. God gave it to me and I'm not going to let go of it. Somebody say it's mine. It's mine. When you can see it in the spirit, you can have it. But you got to take it. And sometimes you got to become violent about it. Well, Brother Joshua, I just think we need to be soft-spoken little Christians. We don't have to be too forceful about it. And the Bible says that the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. So, listen, I'm going to tell you that the devil doesn't play by the rules. And he'll come in a violent way like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And if you don't decide that the word of God belongs to you, belongs to your family, belongs in your money, belongs in your body, if you don't decide it, the enemy will try to trip you up with every kind of lie and deception that he can come up with. But you have to become violent with the word. Hallelujah. You have to become forceful in your faith. The Bible doesn't say that the just shall live by just whatever happens. The just shall live by faith. People that believe the word stand on the word and say, I'm not letting go of this word because the word always works. The word of God is working for me and the word of God will work for you. You know what I love about the word of God? It doesn't change. It's not like it's good sometimes and sometimes it's bad. No, it's always good. It's always healing. It's always prospering. It's always bringing forth increase. It's ever increasing in manifest glory. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I want more. I want more. I want more. I want more. We were creating atmospheres of glory in South Africa a couple months ago. Janet and I had the privilege to go down to Johannesburg and out to Kruger National Park to celebrate our 15-year wedding anniversary. Hard to believe that we've been married 15 years. But we went on safari through Kruger, but we were doing meetings down in Durban and in East London. And while we were in Durban, the first night of meeting was Friday night. And the glory presence of God came in, but it was such a sweet presence of God. It began to touch different people, and God began to do different things. But we didn't know exactly the miracles that were happening. We simply understood that it was a miracle atmosphere that God was releasing. The second night in the meeting, God brought forth revelation. There was prophetic words that were declared. And the Bible says that God watches over his word to perform it, to make it happen in your life. And so we knew that God was bringing something forth, and God was surely going to do that which he had spoken. But again, we didn't know exactly what it was or when it would begin to manifest in the natural. But on the third day, and there's something about this third day. The Bible says that the third day is the day of glory. It's a resurrection, life, and power of God that comes on the third day. There's something about that third day. And on the third day, on Sunday evening, a mother came with her little daughter up to us. And she said, we've been in the meetings on Friday night and Saturday night. And we've been here on Sunday. And she said, something began to happen. My daughter was born blind. But on the first night, suddenly she could see light. She'd never been able to see that light before. And she could see light. She couldn't see any shape. She couldn't see any images, but she could see light. She said on the second night in that atmosphere of glory, suddenly she could begin to see movement. It was like shadows in the light. She could see things moving for the first time in front of her. She couldn't see them clearly, but she could see the shadows. But on the third day, hallelujah. Something happened where her eyes were open for the first time in her life, and she could see in full and living color every detail, everything for the first time in her life. She could see her mother. She could see her body. She could see people. She could see what God was doing in the meetings. And this mother had tears streaming down her face. But I tell you, friends, that's what happens in the atmosphere of God's glory. Whatever the glory touches begins to change. Allow God's glory to touch you in such a way, even this morning, that change will begin to come. That there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, but the change from heaven will begin to come and manifest in your life entirely. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In those same meetings, or in different meetings in South Africa, we were in East London, and the Lord had given me a word of knowledge about tumors and lumps beginning to disappear. And that was on the Friday night. On Saturday morning, two women came back to the meeting. The first one said that she had had tumors growing around her waist area, and she said that every single tumor was gone. Just she woke up in the morning and those tumors were gone. The second woman said that she had a growth the size of a baseball that had been in her breast, but when she woke up on Saturday morning, that growth was completely gone entirely. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is what only God can do. He says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. He comes to establish divine healing in your life. He comes to bring forth supernatural miracles in your life. He comes to do what no man can do. He comes to move in a way that no man can move. Now, I want you to open your Bible with me this morning. I want you to open to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I feel blessed to be here in my home this morning. It is so wonderful to be back here at Impact. Pastor Carl and Cheryl have been our pastors for many, many years. And although we have gone and been in different places and lived in different places and been ministering from different places, we have always considered Pastor Carl and Cheryl to be our senior pastors because of the mantle of wisdom and authority that God has given them in the Spirit, but also because they have this revelation about releasing and knowing that when you give into the things of God, you're never coming to a loss, but when you give into the things of God, you're actually coming into a place of increase. And I tell people all over the world, I say, my pastor preached so good, he literally preached us out of the church. That's what happened. He preached so good, we actually believed the word, and we understood that when it said, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation, that's what we were supposed to do. And we ended up leaving the church for a season. Now, not the church, but this church for a season, and going out and ministering all over the world. We've been to more than 65 nations around the world over the last. I took my very first overseas ministry trip with Pastor Carl about 10 or 11 years ago to India. And I think India is a great place to start your ministry to the nations. It's an excellent place to start. Because when I went to India, I got so freaked out. It was like a whole nother planet. Things were so different in India. I mean, we were riding on the train and I was sitting there, and the train was going backwards, by the way. And we were riding for hours backwards on the train. And all of a sudden I was looking at the seat in front of me. These little cockroaches were coming out of the seat. And I realized these seats were completely infested with cockroaches. And we had experience like that after experience like that. I mean, crazy things were just bugs everywhere. And so many weird things. I can't even get into all the details. We ended up at an Indian buffet or something like that. And, you know, normally you go into a restaurant and you see like the tank of lobsters and, you know, they serve lobster on the menu. Well, we walked into this buffet restaurant. There was guinea pigs in a cage. And, they called it Korean chicken. That ain't Korean and it ain't chicken. It's a guinea pig. And, but India is a great place. If you're feeling led to the nations, India is a great place to start, because it can only get better from there. Really. It only goes up from there. Praise God. And, but I do love India, and I love the Indian people. I don't say that to criticize. I just, say that to be truthful. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay. Okay, 2 Corinthians 4. Turn there. I'll stop right there. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. And let me say this real quick. I do have a brand new Christmas CD available. It's called Christmas Miracle. And this seems like a good opportunity for an advertisement. So I encourage you to get a copy of my brand new Christmas CD. My producer is here, Jack Shockley, who's also Becca Shea's husband and has produced albums for Becca Shea, done production work for Toby Mac and many other wonderful Christian artists. Jack, why don't you just stand so everybody can see you? This is Jack. And we worked together on this Christmas Miracle CD. And he did an amazing job. It wouldn't have come out the way it did without his labor of love and the spirit of excellence that he brought to the project. I was also able to record the majority of the tracks at Capitol Records in Hollywood. God opened up a supernatural door for me to go and record at Capitol Records. And it was last March, and I was traveling down to Los Angeles getting ready to record. And of course, in Vancouver, all of the flowers were blooming and everything was looking like springtime. And I was trying to think, how am I going to get into the Christmas spirit? You know, to record the CD, because if you're not feeling it, it's not going to come through. And I just had this idea, well, maybe I'll download on my phone Frank Sinatra's Holly Jolly Christmas album, because, you know, that's like really warm and fuzzy, and, you know, it's like classic Christmas. So I downloaded the album, and I was listening to it for about 2.5 hours all the way down to Los Angeles. And I arrived in L.A., got the car, drove up to Capitol, got to the studios. When I walked in, they said, we don't know why this happened, because people always have to request this microphone. But for some reason, they put Frank Sinatra's microphone in your recording booth. And I ended, isn't that crazy? And it's like God to orchestrate it like that, right? I totally got that Rat Pack attitude, you know, kind of that feeling of that. that swagger. You know, I was in that atmosphere, and then I ended up with Frank Sinatra's microphone. And I called my mother. I was so excited. I said, "Mom," I said, "I can't believe it. I'm recording on Frank Sinatra's microphone, the same one he recorded his Christmas CD on. I get to record my Christmas CD on." And she said, "Well, he sang about doing it his way, but," she said, "now you're going to do it God's way, and you're going to redeem that thing." Hallelujah. And so God gave us so many amazing and unusual experiences recording the album, and brought me to a lot of wonderful people, gave a lot of supernatural connections. The ones that do a lot of the background vocals on several of the tracks are right off of The Voice. Have you ever watched The Voice television program? The same ones that do the background vocals on The Voice came over to Capitol, and they recorded the backgrounds for me, background vocals on this CD, and they did a phenomenal job. And God's opened up a lot of supernatural doors in Hollywood just to go in and to minister the glory and the presence of God, which we've been pressing in for years for, and God's been doing it. It's wonderful. So I encourage you to get a copy of this Christmas Miracle CD. There's some classics, there's some originals that I've written, and there's also some ones that have been around for a while, but maybe have been less heard. And I think you'll love it as you add this to your holiday playlist this year. Who would like a copy of this CD? You don't have one? Okay. Oh, you want to buy one? Okay. Well, you can buy this one. There you go. That worked out for me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay. Wasn't even expecting to sell that one. Praise God. Hallelujah. I also have a book called Atmosphere that's available on the back table about creating an atmosphere for miracles and success in your home and your family. There's a whole chapter on colors and a whole chapter on sound and light and music. And God's teaching us how to create atmospheres physically. He's teaching us how to create atmospheres emotionally. And he's teaching us how to create spiritual atmospheres, because we are spirit, soul, and body. And if we can create atmospheres for spirit, soul, and body in order to bring forth his glory presence, we will find some great success and great results as that begins to happen. I love the chapter on colors, because a lot of people don't talk about it. And some have even gone as far to say, "Well, the colors, that's just New Age." Well, I've got news for you. The devil did not create color. He didn't. God created all color. There are colors that you've never seen that God has created. And he wants you to see. Hallelujah. And I don't think that God does anything by accident or by mistake, but everything he does is for a specific purpose. And research has discovered that certain colors release, trigger certain reactions within your emotions, within the physical. They've discovered that the color pink, and this is in the book, they discovered that if a weightlifter is lifting weights in front of the color pink, it reduces his strength by something like 80%, which is crazy, in front of a pink wall. And so that's why oftentimes in locker rooms, they'll paint the opposing team's locker room in a pink color. They do. There's a reason for that. Hallelujah. And maybe it's not fair, but it's the truth. Another thing about the color pink, it causes people to crave sweets, causes people to crave sugar. And that's why you'll find ice cream companies and candy companies and cupcake companies love to use the color pink. Why? Because just using that color triggers something in your mind that makes you actually desire and want that cupcake. Now that I said that, all of you are going to have a hankering for cupcakes and want to go after the meeting and get one. The color green, they've discovered that the color green, if you take a green color sheet and you put it over words, children that have difficulty learning how to read, for some reason that color green over the sheet actually helps the children be able to read the word. There's something healing about the color green. Now, that's biblical. The very first color mentioned within the Bible is the color green, because the color of new beginnings, it's the color of growth, it's the color of healing. And so God is teaching us about these things. And something that I mentioned about sound in here is that they've done research and they've discovered that termites, and you know what a termite is, termites will eat wood 2 times faster while listening in the presence or atmosphere of heavy metal music. Isn't that interesting? So you wonder what these kinds of things do even in your spirit or in your soul, the agitation that's created, that not only are there sounds of destruction, but there's sounds of healing. And the Bible talks about the minstrel coming and playing, and as he plays, suddenly healing begins to come, evil spirits departing. That's biblical. And so I share these things in this book. Anyhow, you really ought to get a copy of this. I know that you'll love it. Who would like a copy right now of this book? Okay, I want to sew this. I got something else for you, okay? But I want you to take this, okay? And I want you to give it to that man right back there with the bald head and his hand up. Awesome. God bless you. Okay, and then I've got a special CD for him, okay? Can you make sure he gets a special CD? Yeah, awesome. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, open your Bible with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. The Bible says, do not lose heart. Do not lose faith. Do not give up. At times, things come to try to press and try to bring down and try to create anxiety and try to bring hardship and disappointment and try to cause you to lose heart. Actually, the Bible says, above all else, guard your heart, because from your heart flows the very issues of life. And here within this scripture, we're being encouraged, do not lose heart. Do not give up. I had one of the most unusual experiences last year. I was in Los Angeles. I was spending the day with Lincoln, my son, who's almost 13 years old now. And we were spending the day together. We were calling it Boys Club. We do that every once in a while, just a time him and I can just hang out and do whatever he wants to do. And so we had gone up to Hollywood. We had been ministering in Huntington Beach the night before. We were going to be ministering in Palm Springs. And so we were out in Hollywood and doing things that he wanted to do. And I was walking down Hollywood Boulevard, and all at once, I heard a voice singing in my ear. And I'm not talking about just sensing something or just knowing something. I'm talking about just like you can hear my voice right now. I heard a voice that was singing in my ear, and there was a song that was being sung. And it went like this. Don't give up. You're on the brink of a miracle. Don't give in. God is still on the throne. Don't give up. You're on the brink of a miracle. Don't give up. Remember, you're not alone. And I thought, I know I'm not alone because I can hear your voice singing in my ear. This is like amazing. And I felt so blessed, so inspired, so encouraged. But how many know when you get a word from God, it's as good as gold. You can take it to the bank and cash it in. Really. And I got so inspired by this word, because there's been things that Janet and I have been believing for a long time, miracles that we've been believing for, victories that we've been believing for, breakthroughs that we know that God has available for us. And we've been pressing in, and we've been in prayer, and we've been in worship and praise about it. But when you get a word from heaven that says, don't give up, you're right on the brink of a miracle. It does something to build faith. The thing is this, your faith is voice activated. And even this morning, as I'm releasing the word of God, as I'm speaking the word of God, there's faith that's being built inside of you to believe God for things that you've never been able to believe him before. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's voice activated. And something happened that day. As I heard that sound, there was new faith that began to arise in me. God, I thank you. How many have ever been in that place where you feel like you have pressed in, you believed, you've been contending, and you feel like you're at the end of all of your strength, you're at the end of all you can do? It's not that you doubt God, because you believe God, but at the same time you're like, God, I don't know how I'm going to stand any longer. I feel worn out. I feel tired. I've been in faith for a long time. But when God speaks that word and says, don't give up, you're on the brink of a miracle. There's something that begins to stir within you, new faith that begins to rise up. When you've done all to stand, just stand. Just stand. My friends, your miracle is not afar off. Hallelujah. Your healings are not afar off. Your prosperity is not afar off. Your restoration is not afar off. Those victories in your family are not far off. Don't give up. You're on the brink of a miracle. I've discovered this, that the greatest pressure always comes before the greatest breakthrough. The greatest pressure always comes at that very moment when you're about to explode with glory. Hallelujah. The attacks of the enemy, the warfare is always the strongest right before you experience the greatest victories you've ever known. Don't give up. Do not lose heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I could tell you a whole lot of testimonies that began to transpire after that song came. That song actually continued to sing over me for about the next day, day and a half, just all through the day, all through the night. This sound, I could hear it in my ear. Don't give up. You're on the brink of a miracle. And within 2 weeks, we came into some massive breakthroughs of things that we were believing for. God began to use that song in the lives of others. As I began to release the song and release this testimony that God had given to me, suddenly things began to unfold. And I could tell you testimony after testimony. I could tell you about it probably till Jesus comes back. But I won't this morning. I'll spare you of that. But do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Outside, it might look like everything is falling apart. In the natural, it might look like everything's going to hell in a handbasket. But in the spirit, hallelujah, you got to see something that you can't see in the natural. You got to look a little bit further. You got to look from the inside out. You got to see with eyes of God, with eyes of the spirit, what is happening. You are being renewed. God is encouraging you. God is strengthening you. God is renewing you day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Now, I love this scripture for several reasons. The first reason is because it calls our problems light and momentary. And that is good news right there. That's the good news of the gospel. Your problems are light and momentary. Sometimes they feel heavy and everlasting. It feels like you're never going to get out from the pressure. It feels like you're never going to break through. It feels like you're never going to come into the fullness of the miracle. But the Bible says your problems are light and momentary. You're going to make it. I'm telling you this morning, I'm prophesying over you this morning. I say, you are going to make it. Someone say, I'm going to make it. Push your neighbor and say, you're going to make it too. You're going to make it. Your problems are light and momentary. And then I find it so interesting. The second half of this sentence says, your troubles are achieving. They're working for us an eternal glory. Our problems are working for us. Now, this goes against everything you've been thinking, because you've been cursing the problem and cursing the trouble, not realizing that that trouble is ordained to work for you. Did God put the trouble in your life? No. God doesn't come to put trouble in your life. God doesn't come to make you sick. God doesn't come to make you poor. God doesn't come to destroy your family. God doesn't come to devastate your business. God doesn't come to ravish your life. He comes to heal your life. But the Bible says that the enemy comes for three reasons: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And it doesn't matter how anointed you are or how unanointed you are, the enemy is still after you to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But the wonderful promise we have in the Word is that when the enemy comes to bring harm, when the enemy comes to devastate, when the enemy comes to destroy you, when the enemy comes in all of his power to steal, to kill, and to destroy, God will take what the enemy meant for harm and he will turn it around for the good of those that love him. Do you know what that means? When the enemy comes to bring a curse into your life, when you love the Lord and keep your eyes fixed upon him, seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you. Part of that provisional blessing that God brings into your life is that he is a way to super, just like he turned the water into wine. He has a way to touch your problems that came into your life as a curse to devastate and rip you apart. He has a way to touch that thing with his glory and say, no, you are not going to touch my anointed, but you are ordained to now begin to work. Work. Get back to work. You are ordained to work to bring them into a greater, ever-increasing weight of the glory of God. Do you understand what I just said? Because when you look at your troubles, sometimes you felt like your trouble is about, you felt like you've been working for your troubles. Come on. How many have ever felt like you've been working for your troubles? I mean, you got all these troubles up here and poor little you is down here under the weight of it all. You understand? That's a lie from the pit of hell. It is a lie from the pit of hell. And the Bible says this, that you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. When you begin to get vision, suddenly you can no longer be destroyed. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge or lack of vision. But when you get the revelation of God and you see things the way they really are, see, the only power the enemy really has is try to keep you under a deception. As long as you're under a deception believing the lie, then you cannot enter into the truth. But when the truth comes on the scene, when you get the revelation, when God begins to paint a picture for you and you see it the way it really is, suddenly in that reality, understanding of the word of God and what he's given and provided for you, now you can begin to rise up into a new place of victory, a new place of authority to see things how they really. You are not under your problems. Your problems are under you. The Bible says that the enemy is under your. You might have a lot of employees right now. A lot of little worker bees. You understand what I'm talking about? Some troubles that are working for you. But they're not above you. They're underneath you. And for those troubles that are in your life, you need to begin to look at them and speak to them and command them to get back to work. Because they are not ordained at this moment in your life. They are not ordained to bring you down. They're ordained to bring you up. They're not ordained to take you out. They're ordained to take you in. Hallelujah. We had a situation several years ago where we were ministering in the U.S. And of course we had all the everything. We were doing everything legal and, you know, we're Canadian citizens, but we had everything legal. And we were going through immigration process and all of that. And we were living down in California and we were making some trips around the world. And Janet was down in the Caribbean ministering and she was coming back up to Canada to be up here for a little while. And as she was coming up, the border stopped her in Miami. She was just transiting to a new plane and they stopped her in Miami. And they accused her of being involved in terrorist activities. My wife. Now it's true. She is a holy terror to the enemy. It's true. But we have never been involved in any terrorist cell group against the United States of America. And yet they accused her of being involved with this group and living illegally within the state of Wyoming. We've never even been to the state of Wyoming. I mean, no, it's a lie. And that's all the enemy has is really lies. He's the father of lies. But with these lies, they were accusing her of this and accusing her of that. And at the end of the 26-hour interrogation, they told her that she could no longer go back to the U.S. for 5 years, but she was banned from the country. Now, I was in the recording studio in Prince Edward Island recording a CD called No Limitations. God had given it to me as a revelation. There are no limitations in the spirit. There's no limitations in the glory realm. But then what are you going to do with that? I get this revelation from God and my wife's being banned from the U.S. Having limitations put all over her life. Do I succumb and begin to believe the deception and the lies of the enemy? Or do I stand in the truth, the revelation of God, believing that all things work together of those that love him and God is turning this thing around on my behalf? That problem has come into my life, not ordained by God as a curse in my life, but now ordained by God to begin to work and achieve something for me to bring me into greater glory. Now, to tell you the story a little bit bigger, just a few months before this happened, God had given us a supernatural miracle. A woman showed up on our door. We had been sowing and believing God for a new home for 11 years of marriage. Many times we'd be here in this church and it would come time for offering. I tell you, it's a powerful time to worship the Lord with your seed and with your finances. And we'd write on the very back of our envelope, we'd name our seed and call it New Home. This church has lots of envelopes, if they still have them, that have our declaration on the back of them. New home. God's going to give us a new home. We believe it. We don't have the money for it. We don't have the credit for it. But God's going to give us a new home. 11 years of sowing, believing God. And a woman shows up at our doorstep in California. We're renting a home. And she shows up at our doorstep and she says, "Do you need a home?" Well, there's no way that she would know that we needed a home. And we said, "Yes, we do." And she said, "I think I know the home that God has, or the home that you would like." And so she takes us to see it, and we're like, "This is perfect. This is wonderful." She says, "Do you have the money for it?" "No, we don't have the money for it." And that's a $1 million question. And "No, we don't have the money. We don't have the credit." She said, "Well, go down to the Bank of America. They'll give you money." So we went, we booked an appointment at the Bank of America, went down, and within 5 minutes, we told them we were Canadian. They said, "We can't give Canadians money." Well, we should have known that. It was called the Bank of America. And so they said we couldn't have any money. And so that was that. I called this lady back and said, "They won't give us any money." She said, "Well, go down to this bank further down the road. It's an Indian bank and they give anybody money. And just a little bit of a higher interest rate, but they'll lend money to anybody." And so we went down there, filled out the application form, and they got back to us. They said, "No, you can't. You're not approved. You just don't have the credit. You don't have the finances in your bank. You're not financially established for getting this home." And so they denied us, and we kept on getting no, 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 no. But let me tell you, friends, when God says yes, it don't matter who says no. And that seed in the ground will surely bring forth a harvest at the appointed time. And it's not going to be a harvest that comes from man. It's going to be a harvest that comes from God. And I ended up talking to this lady again, and she said, "I knew they weren't going to give you the money." I said, "You sent me down to the bank." She said, "I knew the Bank of America wouldn't give you money." I said, "You sent me to that bank." She said, "I know." She said, "I wanted to see how serious you were about getting this home." I said, "Why did you do that?" She said, "Because it doesn't matter that the bank's not going to give you money." She said, "I have lots of money." What? Like, you showed up on my doorstep. You knocked on my door asking me if I need a home. You took me to the home. And now you're saying you have the money to pay for the home? So she ended up buying the home, and she wrote it into Janet and I's name, and she said we could pay it back as much or as little as we could in the amount of time that we needed to. And it was just this amazing loan. They had a very low interest rate, lower than any of the banks, and God had given us this home. And then God gives an angelic encounter. Angels of prosperity came into our life. It's a long testimony, but basically I was ministering on the eastern side of the United States. Somebody came to me and wrote me a check to pay off my home in full. So God gave us this home in California completely debt-free. Like, he literally gave it to us. Janet and I, we lived in the home for 5 days, and then she got banned. Now, you can look at that and you can complain, and you can curse the curse, or you can begin to recognize that although the enemy is trying to take you out, God has brought you into a moment of divine favor where all things can work together for the good of them that love him. We found ourselves here in London, Ontario, living in a one-bedroom apartment on the east side of town. Lincoln would have to sleep in the area that we use as a ministry office on an air mattress at night, and he'd have to pack it all up before Catherine was working for us at the time, and Catherine would come in at 9 o'clock in the morning. Everything would have to be packed up and cleaned up before she got there at 9 o'clock in the morning, and it was a very uncomfortable situation. But something happened in that place of being uncomfortable, realizing that God had given us a moment to begin to stretch and increase our faith, believe him for something we would have never believed any other way. God, you've given us one home. For the first time, we become homeowners. Could you possibly give us another home? Suddenly our faith was stretched. The same God that did it before can do it again. That devil tried to put this problem in our life to take us down, to discourage us, to stop the ministry, to get us anxious. But that problem literally began to turn into a little worker bee, hallelujah, that began to create faith in our life, beginning to believe, God, you did it before, you can do it again. God, you gave us a home supernaturally. We know that you can give us another supernatural. We don't have the money for it, we don't have the credit for it, but God, you can do it. And within a month, God gave us a home. We got another home in Vancouver. Now that is crazy. Absolutely crazy. We became first-time homeowners two times within like a three-month period. And it wasn't because we had the money. It wasn't because we had the credit. We had seed in the ground. But we also had a little problem in our life that was working for us. Hallelujah. For 10 years, we've been believing God for another child. You know, Lincoln has been a wonderful young man, and we love him dearly, and he's been such a blessing in our life. But Janet Angel always wanted a little daughter. She always wanted another little one, and we were believing God, and we were traveling all over the world within 10 years, and it seemed like all the movement and all the travel and everything, it just never seemed, we were doing all the right things, but nothing seemed to be happening. No child seemed to be coming. But God used that problem to keep Janet at home to begin to nest. And something happens when mother bird begins to nest. And within a few months, we discovered that Janet was pregnant with our daughter, Liberty. Once again, God used that problem, hallelujah, to work for us, not against us. Because those problems are ordained to bring victories into your life. Things you've been believing for a long time. The testimonies coming forth to give glory and honor to Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And I got another announcement. We're having another baby. We moved to London in August and Mother Bird began to nest again. I don't think we should move anymore. But we're very excited. May 25th, we're going to have another little one. Hallelujah. And we are quite excited about that. God just continues to give us victories. God continues to give us blessing. God continues to give us miracles because God wants us to change our perspective on the situation and see how he sees. Just like Becca sang, having vision, the vision of God, heavenly vision to see what God sees. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs all of the problems. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Somebody say, it's not as bad as it looks. You might have a lot of troubles in your life. You might have a lot of obstacles in your life. You might have a lot of stuff going on, a lot of pressures, a lot of problems, a lot of anxiety. But I tell you this, God wants to touch that thing and turn them into little workers that will bring you into more victories than you've ever seen before in your life. More testimonies than you've ever had in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I read a newspaper article quite a few years ago. And it was talking about a woman who had been grocery shopping. And as she was grocery shopping, you know, she went out and sat in her car. And the cart attendant saw this woman in her car. And it was unusual because she was sitting in her car hunched over her steering wheel with her hands on the back of her head, on the back of her neck, just like this. And the grocery cart attendant thought, maybe there's something wrong with this woman. Went over, knocked on the window and asked her, are you okay? And she said, no, I've been shot in the back of the head and my brains are coming out. And so he went in, of course, and called the emergency vehicles. The newspaper article said it took 5 minutes for the emergency vehicles to respond, which is extremely fast. But within the 5 minutes it took for them to respond, this woman had passed out because of the great pain she was experiencing. Now, when the emergency vehicles got to the car, they got in and they had her take her hands off of the back of her head, the back of her neck. And suddenly everybody was shocked and surprised to discover that she had not been shot in the back of the head. But what happened was that she had been grocery shopping. It was Little Rock, Arkansas, middle of the summer. She had come into her car, put the groceries in the back seat. When she shut the door, a fresh gust of air triggered and caused the Pillsbury canister of biscuits to explode, creating a shooting sound. Dough hit her in the back of the head. She grabbed her head and suddenly she thought she had been shot in the back of the head and her brains were coming out. The newspaper article said she passed out because of the great pain she was experiencing. For some of us, the problems we're experiencing in our life really are no more than a biscuit in the back of the head. And we've been crying, and we've been passing out, and we've been in misery, not understanding because we've been believing the lie and been under the place of deception. But God wants to bring truth into our life. The Holy Spirit comes to lead you into all truth, that you will know the truth, and that truth sets you free. If the devil hits you in the back of the head with a biscuit, take that biscuit, put it in the oven, and make yourself some breakfast. Hallelujah. Let it work for you. That biscuit doesn't come to kill you. It comes to feed you. And if you don't want it, cook it and feed it to your dog. Hallelujah. Be some kind of good in your life. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Don't give up. You're on the brink of a miracle. Don't give in. God is still on the throne. Don't give up. You're on the brink of a miracle. Don't give up. Remember, you're not alone. Come on, why don't you stand up in this place this morning? Just lift up your hands to God. Lord, I thank you this morning that in this place you've stirred faith. Lord, I thank you that in this place you're releasing your miracle possibilities. Lord, I thank you that in this place you're causing the lies, the deceptions to be uncovered, that we would see the truth, that we would see things clearly, see things the way that you see things. Lord, we ask for your vision. We don't want to see from worldly perspective, but Lord, we desire to look from heavenly dimensions upon the situation. Every area where the enemies tried to bring pain and tried to bring despair, every situation where sickness has tried to come and ravish and devastate our lives, every place where the enemy has tried to pull apart our families and bring forth devastation within our homes, within our businesses, within our workplaces, Lord, we thank you that you are Lord over all, and we believe that you are the miracle worker, and you are working miracles in the middle of it all, even right now. Lord, we thank you for working miracle after miracle after miracle. There is nothing that's too difficult for you. There's nothing that is impossible for them that believe. And Lord, this morning in this place, we believe your word. We believe your truth. We believe in your ability to make miracles happen on our behalf. This morning we reach into that realm of heavenly provision. Come on, just lift up your hands in the cloud. I can actually feel the cloud right now in this place. Just lift up your hands. Some of you might begin to feel it, begin to sense it right now, even physically. Just that weighty kabod of his presence. When you sense that cloud, just receive what God is doing. If you connect by faith, just receive what he's doing right now. Just receive the miracle. Just receive the healing. Just receive the provision right now. Just receive the restoration. Receive the wholeness that comes from heaven. Shoo. Lord, we thank you for moving in our life, doing the unexplainable, doing what nobody else could do, moving by your Spirit. We welcome divine presence to come and abide. We welcome heavenly glory to come and bring forth change. Lord, we welcome you to come and move and do what only you can do in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody lift up your hands right now and say, Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, come and do what you desire to do. Holy Spirit, come and move in the way that you desire to move. Lord, I thank you for your touch of glory. I thank you for the influence of your presence upon my life. I thank you that you're turning things around right now on my behalf. Things that were put into my life as a curse. I thank you, Jesus, that you came to destroy every curse, to break every curse, to annihilate every curse, causing my problems to work for me, not against me. Now look at your problems right now. Just think about the biggest problem you're facing. And I want you to look at it in the spirit right now and just command it. Say, get back to work. Come on, tell it. Get back to work. Get back to work. You're bringing me into a big testimony. You're going to bring me into a big miracle. You're going to bring me into the biggest breakthrough I've ever known in my life. Get back to work in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody praise God. Come on, give him a hand clap of praise. He's worthy of all glory, all honor, all praise. I'm actually leaving this afternoon to fly down to Phoenix, Arizona. Tomorrow night I'll be doing a two-hour live webcast with my dear friend Patricia King. It's going to be a holiday special that you can watch for free on the internet. And I encourage you to tune in. It's going to be 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time online. And you can just go to her website, patriciaking.com, and tune in to Patricia King Live. And I think you'll get really, really blessed. It's going to be a wonderful time with her. But thank you, Pastor Carl, for allowing me to come and to minister. It's wonderful to be home. There is no place like home. God bless you.
All right. Well, I'm just going to ask, we've got people ready to minister to you today. If you need ministry in any way, we don't want you to leave without getting that. So there's a ministry team that are coming right now. They're coming right this minute. They're going to come. They're ready to pray for you. Otherwise, we're going to bless you. So we're thankful for Joshua, for Janet, and for Becca, and for Jack being with us. So bless them. They've all got to travel pretty quick. So keep them in your prayers, and let's just give the Lord thanks. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, just thank you for your word today. Press it down. Press it deep. We don't want the birds of the air to try to take it right when we leave in the parking lot. We want it to find good root in our hearts and bear fruit for your honor and for your glory. So, Father, bless this house. Bless all these dear saints. Love these folks, Lord. Let your great love be a revelation to them. Jesus, your grace, wrap them, empower them, enable them. And Holy Spirit, thank you for your divine partnership every moment of the day. We go out to release light, to release your kingdom, to manifest your glory in all we do. Be glorified in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. If you need prayer, ministry for anything, there's a team ready to minister to you right now. So they're ready, prepared to minister to you. So come in Jesus' name.